Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. One of prophet Isaiah's Old Testament prophecies about Jesus the Messiah, he's prophesying about Jesus the Messiah, show the great deliverance that God the Father brought when he sent forth his word to become flesh in his only begotten Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ. He did. So God, literally, he had him. God the Father beget him. He had him. In other words, him having him, he's the seed of it all. But also he had a way of bringing him forth purity. And so he takes Mary, 13 years old. She was just real young. By the way, Mary was an orphan. She really was. And God chose her. My Lord, think about that. God chose an orphan to bring forth himself as son. God chose an orphan to bring forth himself as son. Is that something or not? Really, you think about that. So one of prophet Isaiah's Old Testament prophecies about Jesus, God the Messiah, show the great deliverance that God the Father brought when he sent forth his word to become flesh in the only begotten Son of the Father, God the Son, Jesus. The people, Isaiah 9 and 2, that sat in darkness have seen a great light. Now look at the context here. He's going to run down to Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7 in a little bit, but look what he's building up to. Please listen to that. This is a prophecy of Jesus. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So many people were bound up in darkness, ignorance, wickedness, misery, destruction. They walked in darkness and they lived in it. And they were immersed in it on every side. It was like they were so submerged in it, that's what they knew. It was a normalcy to them. They never thought that they would see and know any different. So them walking in darkness like that, it was very normal to them. And they thought they would see or know, they wouldn't know anything any different than that. Above all, it was the wretched state of their spirits and their souls, languishing in sin and separation from God. Even our nation, America, has been languishing in separation from God in many ways. You see? So they that dwell in darkness, the koshek, the dark, the misery, when you get in darkness, it's like sorrow, ignorance, wickedness, darkness, obscurity, like you're living in night all the time, no daytime. Darkness becomes misery after a while, misery. They have seen, they actually see, and they are beginning to perceive and discern and consider and behold and regard and have great respect and take heed of this great light that's going to come forth. They have seen a great light, a gadol, a very great, very a man of great. And this word is great, 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 but a man of great, a great man, a great light. It says a great man of light, a great man of light. And the word light here you see in the Old Testament is O-W-R, and you pronounce it or, the way you do. So they've seen a great light, a great illumination, bright, clear, that brings happiness, brings morning to night, brings sun in the daytime. So there's a light coming that's going to bring happiness. A light comes, and they that dwell in the land, so they dwell in darkness, and they that dwell, they sit down, and they're not only sitting there and remain there, they're ambushed in it, and they don't know it. They're ambushed in darkness. In the land of a particular land, it can be the country, or it can be also the world and a nation. The word Eretz here. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. The shadow of death. The shade of death, like the grave, calamity, but a shadow of death. Think about living in the shadow of death. People who believe the wrong things and live in the darkness away from God, they're living in the shadow of death all the time. Shadow of death. That's what they're doing. You see that? Yes, upon them, above them, on top of them, a shadow of death. It's like having the charge of their whole life. They hath the light upon them. When somebody's coming, the light's going to shine on them. Hath the light shine. Hath the light shined, illuminated, caused to shine, and enlighten them out of the darkness in what they should see. Prophet Isaiah continues his prophecy, proclaiming, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. So 9 and 2, they that sit in darkness have seen a great light and great misery and all. And he comes down to verse 6, building up to it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So unto us, he's proclaiming, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. For unto us, inseparable, unto us that see that, seeing the causative part of it, with respect to and in regard to, unto us a child. A child, something's got to be born. A yelet, a child, something born. A lad, an offspring, a son, a child, a boy, a young one. A yelet is born, is begotten. The word yolad, is begotten. He's going to show lineage. He's going to bring forth. He's going to be like children being brought forth, like being delivered of a child. Like when he comes, he's going to have a birthday. When you're born, it's birthday. So God the Son is going to have a birthday in the earth. Yes. That makes sense to you? Yes. He's going to be begotten and hatched and declared pedigrees and the son of on and on and gender. He's coming out male and not a female. That's what it's going to be. So do you see what I'm saying? He was begotten. He's God. But he was begotten into the Son of God, the Son of Man. He's all God, came from God, came through humanity. Came out of God the Father and came through the womb of a woman, a female, flesh. This wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Son of God with the fivefold all inside him. He's all the fivefold, evangelistic, pastoral, domain teaching, prophetic, up into the apostolic. You see it? So the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, God the Son, with all the fivefold inside him, would bring forth the true rule of God, the theocracy of God the Father. He's going to bring forth the rule of God. So even higher than him being Savior, he's governor. He's the ruler, the Bible says. Anybody hear that? So what a glorious time when God the Son would be born, when he would reign over our lives and when his true kingdom would come forth. Well, what a glorious time when God the Son would be born, when he would reign over our lives, rule over our lives, when his true kingdom would come forth, all made possible by the coming of the Lord to us. The coming of God the Son to us was the coming of God the Father coming to us. He is. And he said, I'm going to be begotten into me as a son, even run it through a human, so they can see that I'm all God and human too. You see? So what a glorious time when God the Son would be born, when he would reign over our lives, when his true kingdom would come forth, all made possible by the coming of himself as God the Son. The light from before time began. The light is coming to us before he was there before time began. God the Father is the light of the world. He's the light of the universe, light of all things. God the Son, Jesus, is the light of the world, because here he is. So God the Father brings his light into the earth, and himself is God the Son. So the light from before time began, the light of the world, the eternal light, the same light is risen upon us. Anybody hear that? Now, there are different ones in the Bible prophesied and gave forth this before Mary came along and did it, but I'll look at Mary today. But there are different ones in the Old Testament that they actually began to prophesy this. It was like a song of prophecy coming forth. Mary's Holy Ghost anointed prophecy. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary's Holy Ghost anointed prophecy. This is known as the Magnificat, meaning it magnifies, my soul doth magnify the Lord, the Magnificat. I magnify the Magnificent One of all, the Magnificat. It's known as the Magnificat, meaning it magnifies, my soul doth magnify the Lord. A very famous, widely quoted portion of Scripture. It is in Luke 1, 46 and 47. The young Virgin Mary blessing the God of Israel. She's blessing the God of Israel for sending the Messiah to Israel through her. Luke 1:46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, because inside me, in the depth of my being, my spirit's already rejoiced. Right? My soul just magnified the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded, what has he done? The lowest state of thy handmaid. Watch this right quick. He hath gazed at with favor. And the Greek says with partiality. He has gazed at her with favor and partiality. Say, this is the best, most chosen female living today in this time I can bring through. And he was partial toward her because of the way she was. Do you see that? So he hath regarded, he hath gazed at. It's the word epiblippo. Epi is always a superimposition. He hath regarded, he's gazed at with favor and partiality. He looked upon and regarded and had respect to. Epi, superimposition, superimposed himself over toward it, having charge of the whole thing, touching her too. And like blepo, which means to look at, behold, perceiving regard. He perceived Mary from the inside out. She's talking. She said, God has perceived, he has looked upon me with favor and partiality. The lowest state of me as his handmaid. The lowest state. I'm like depressed in rank and feeling. I don't feel like I'm up there with other people. I don't feel like I have any rank at all, what she's saying. In humiliation, lowest state, like to be humiliated in conditioning heart of her whole being. She very humble herself, very base, very humble, low degree. He has literally taken of his, he has regarded the low a state of, and that word of right there takes to Maranatha, the judgment of God's upon it, of his handmaid. Now listen to this, of his handmaid. She said, God came and me as lowly as I was. I'm an orphan. As low as I am, like 12, 13 years old. He's regarded the lowest state of me, his handmaid. Virgin Mary was a total committed slave to God. According to church tradition, Mary was an orphan. She was dedicated to serve the temple daily at age 3, serving God day and night. She served the Lord as a pure, consecrated, committed spiritual daughter. High Priest Zechariah and wife Anna, it said that they took her under their wing and helped raise her up. So for assigning a reason, explanation, and attempt to get, behold, from henceforth, all, she said, I have come and God has done this to all people through me by bringing him forth out of me. Henceforth, behold, henceforth, forever and ever and ever. Henceforth, all generations. Now, generations, listen to this. Generations is also like a nation, like a handmaid to all generations, to all nations. Generations, the word generation is like a period of persons. It can be a nation also. It's like kin. It's individual and very collective. It's kindred. It's like offspring, stock, born, on and on and on. And it's a genomae. To be this, she said, a generation has to be generated into something. Genomae means to cause to generate, to become into being. Come to pass, on and on, be brought, on and on, be ordained to be finished, on and on, shall call me. She said, all of this because God has generated me into this, they will call me blessed. Since God looked at the lowest state of me, his handmaid, people call me blessed. They call me blessed, beatify, which means they pronounce me, they esteem me and call me blessed and say, you're very fortunate. They'll call me I'm very fortunate. Well, she was fortunate, right? Mary was magnified the Lord for his being supremely blessed, because she magnified him with all her being. She was supremely blessed. See that? Very fortunate, well off. God, the saving and delivering Father, had done great things to all of us, just as he had done great things for our nation. As far as we can see, as far as we know, and a lot of people think the same thing, God, the saving, delivering Father, had done great things for all of us, just as he hath done great things for our nation. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. That's what she's saying. Well, just like God has done great things to her, seems like he's helped us, this nation here. She's talking about generation to generation, nation to nation to nation to nation. For he that is mighty, he's powerful and capable. The mighty man hath done, he hath brought forth and executed and performed to me great things. And the word great things is the word magos. It's great, great, but also it means the greatest thing. He's brought the greatest thing through me, and holy, sacred and pure, and consecrated and clean and perfect, and also fathering and brooding and fostering and cherishing me, he does, is his name. She said, that's his name. His name, his authority, his character. It's the absolute knowing of who he is. So God has mercy, Luke 1:50, and his mercy is upon them that fear him from generation to generation or from nation to nation. And his mercy, there it is again, that we're Maranatha, the judgment of God. His mercy, his compassion, his tender mercy is upon them that fear him. His mercy is upon all of them that fear him, that's alone and be in awe of him, that reverence and revere him. The word Maranatha again, from generation to generation. So from nation to nation, generation to generation, God the Father shows his strength through his right arm, Jesus. So Isaiah, you know, his right arm brought salvation to him. Well, Mary comes and she's quoting out some of that herself, and she's saying all this. God the Father shows his strength through his right arm, Jesus, when God sends his salvation through his deliverer. The proud and all the false ideas are scattered. He has showed forth his strength, Luke 1:57, with his strength, something he wields. He has scattered, separated the proud, that those appearing above themselves conspicuously or falsely, haughty, proud, on and on and on, in the imagination, the faculty, the dispositions, and the understanding, the cause of it, and the place of it, and the event of it, of their hearts. Yes, she said God is brought forth that, but he judges them, judgments upon them. You see it?
Yes,
when God the Father's deliverer arises, when he arises, the so-called mighty who has occupied so-called thrones are put down. When God the Father's deliverer arises, the so-called mighty who have occupied so-called thrones are put down. The humble, the downtrodden are raised up. God will put down all the bad ones and raise up the humble ones. True? When God the Father's deliverer arises, the so-called mighty who have occupied so many thrones are put down, and God, the humble and the downtrodden, God picks up. He has put down, he has cleansed, he's pruned, expiated, cleansed, and purged the mighty. And this word mighty is a dunates. It's a word that means a ruler or officer or a potentate of great authority. These are leaders. God has put down the mighty, the dunates, the ruler, the officer, the potentate that was over the wrong side. Hear somebody, and Jesus coming, and Mary's talking this, and she hadn't even had him yet, but she sees the prophecy. She's prophesying. The spirit of prophecy is upon her. How many sees that? So wrong potentates, he puts them down, because out of these shall come forth a governor which shall rule his people. Rule his people. So then God chooses human vessels to do that through himself. So he's taking the mighty, he's taking away the mighty seat, their throne notes. He's taking their stately throne on and on, them being potentate away from them, their throne. He's taking it away. And he is exalted, lifted up and exalted in height and in dignity. He is exalted in dignity, them of low degree. Those that are depressed, humble, cast down, lowly, humble, low estate. So you've got to be humble for God to lift you up. Luke 1:53, he hath filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he hath sent empty away. Here's Mary talking. And he hasn't even come forth yet. You hear? But she knows she's going to have him. He hath filled the hungry. Those idea of pinching toil, pining away, famished, craving, hungered, with good things, great benefit. And the rich, those that think they're wealth and all, he has sent empty away. He has dispatched, and listen to this, he's not only sent them away, dispatched them away, send them out, he has dismissed them. The Greek said he has dismissed them empty away. What happened? I tell you what happened. The governor, the ruler, has come, and his light has come, and he has totally put you haughty down, and he's raising the humble up. That's what Mary, and Mary's talking about herself too. So he had sent them away empty. God, watch this now. God fulfilled his long-awaited promise to Israel when he sent his only begotten Son made of flesh, Jesus. Listen, Luke 1:54, you ready? He hath hoped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He hath hoped when Jesus comes. And what you see happening in the nation, all so those who have needed help and on, even in this last year, God has been hoping you. Yes. Aren't you glad he's been hoping you? Yes. Helping you? He hath hoped in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He hath hoped. The word hoping means it's anti-lambanamai, which means to take hold in turn, to succor, to participate in your situation that came upon you. Hoping you. He came and became a participator in it. Are you listening? If you needed healing, he participated in healing. If you needed to be lifted up, he lifted you up. He hath hoped, taken hold in turn, participated and helped and protected you. His servant, that great mighty one that humbles himself before the Lord, the maid servant, Mary, and you too, Israel. Right? In remembrance, in total remembrance, and mental grasp and recollecting, and the word meno, his remembrance, I stay in a state of, I don't change, I'm the same all the time, I remain, I continue, I'm that way, I'm still that way, of his mercy, his compassion, his tender mercy. How many of you has God hoping in the last years? How many knows that he participated in that with you? He participated in that with you. He hath hoped in you. He had participated in with you and walked all the way through. Walked you out of that valley. Hallelujah. He has done that. Jesus Christ the Messiah was the promise fulfilled that would preserve the chosen people forever. Luke 1:55, as he spake to our fathers, Abraham, and to his seed forever. As, inasmuch as, according to, he spake the order and he preached and laid forth systematically to our fathers, and to Abraham. He spoke to our father, Abraham, the Hebrew patriarch, and to his seed, and the word seed is sperma, that which came out of him. And she's talking about Jesus about to come through her, but also about us today, to Abraham and to his seed, his something sown, a seed, like offspring, like a remnant that he does that to, is kept over for planting, through the idea of extending and on and on and on, forever. Forever, aeon, on and on, continues, to forever, never, 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 never. Not only to Israel, but also to the Jew first, of course, and then also to the Gentile would he be grafted in. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16, for it's the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile, the Greek. God the Father is faithful to bring to pass his promises. Hebrew 11:13, those who died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And then 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, on and on and on. Yes, sir. So he's faithful to bring forth the deliverer. The seed of Abraham is Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:16, watch this now. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. To Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not to seeds as of many. But first of all, he's going to point out, but as of one to thy seed, which is Christ. She's saying the seed's going to come through me that the other seeds are spring forth. I'm bringing forth the real seed of the Father. And he will hope in you. Anybody here? I'm bringing forth the real seed of the Father, the Savior of the world, the Word of God, the Father come in flesh, to redeem the world back unto himself, all that will be redeemed. Also, God the Father is faithful to remember his people who call upon his name and bring forth a deliverer when the time arises. He'll bring forth a deliverer. God is a preserver of his people and of a nation that fears and honors him. This Christmas, our soul doth magnify the Lord. Our spirits rejoice in God our Savior, for he has sent forth his deliverer. My soul, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in Christ my Savior, God my Savior. We today and eternally celebrate the incarnation of God the Son, Jesus Christ the Messiah, our deliverer and Savior. This Christmas, we also thank and celebrate him preserving our nation by raising up a deliverer in the civil, it seems to be, who remember is from nation to nation. And this Christmas, we thank God and celebrate the preserving our nation by how we see, many people see, raising up a nation, a deliverer in the civil realm who promises to turn America back to God and to godliness in many ways that we have lost due to those who hate God, who hate America, who stand against this godly people in this godly nation, who want to create the one world order, bring forth the worship of the beast. So they hate America, God's people, Christians, everyone, all righteous. But I tell you what, though, God, Mary said, God is bringing forth his seed, which others will come out of. He has done it. And not only that, he's raised up a deliverer in the civil. And let's pray all this comes to pass as we have been told. You see, he's done that. So arise, shine, thy light is come. The light of God is risen upon us in many ways. You hear? So our soul doth magnify the Lord in multiple ways, Christmas 2024. God, the mighty Father, Luke 1:49, Mary said, he hath done great things and holy is his name. Are you glad the light of God has risen upon you? Are you glad that it looks like the light of God has risen upon the nation again? Are you glad that God participated and walked you through this whole thing with you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice in the Holy Ghost. Lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice in the Holy Ghost, lift up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The glory, he hath opened thee. He hath opened thee. He has been participating in this whole thing with you. Arise, shine, thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Hallelujah.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of his truth and a deeper level of relationship with himself.